This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. The YouTube live chat poll for today is J.D. Vance, the future of the GOP. Donald Trump was asked this when discussing the issue or in an interview with Bret Baier, and Donald Trump didn't emphatically say yes. He basically kind of brushed off the question, and he's like, we just got here. He keeps saying that. Like, you got to remember, when he sat down in his desk the very first time on Inauguration Day, he's like, I got here 15 minutes ago. When Peter Ducey's like, did he give you a letter? He's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Opens the drawer. There's the letter. He has gotten so much done so quickly. And our poll today reflects that question that was, some people are kind of making a little hay out of it in social media, but I'm really curious about your thoughts on it. If J.D. Vance is the future of the GOP, if you're ready to commit to that on, let's check notes, February 11th of 2025.
Does 2021 seem like a long time ago to you?
Yeah. 2023, like, it still could be 2023 in my mind, but anything before that seems like forever ago.
Yeah, me too. And I'm thinking, wow, that seems like so long ago. And yet that was the beginning of the Biden presidency. So that's how long it is still ahead that we're going to have a Trump presidency.
Ender said, I was an emphatic yes, however, realized that we are still very early in this term. I drastically misjudged and underestimated JD, and he's been absolutely amazing, but we're still too soon to tell. This is a new one. The Nutty Goofball.
Oh, hi. What's up, Nut?
Could you just participate on the show? Do you have to have a YouTube channel to comment on here as well, Ryan?
Brian's like, that's not me.
That's clearly your face.
Obviously.
The Nutty Goofball. GOP has several good people to choose from. It will get fleshed out in a primary. Do you think they'll have a full-on primary? I think they have to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to.
Yeah, they will.
And I always have to read these in my head just to make sure someone's not trying to make me say something on the air.
This one might be.
I know.
Not really sure.
It's close. I'll say the first half. Okay. You say the second half. JJ.
Biggin.
On Rumble. Says, looks like it, but we don't know yet.
Yeah. Still don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. We're in Wiggins America in 1245. Ryan was giving us body language mistakes that you're making. I don't know how to do this. I want to teach young girls how to convey confidence, because all warfare among junior high and high school girls is insecurity. It's nasty, nasty stuff. I remember going through it myself. I definitely was on the bad end of bullying and of just like girl-on-girl warfare. I know that I was a bully from time to time as well. It'd be not realistic to suggest that I never did anything wrong in that regard either. And I think about some of those times that I might have been involved on the wrong side, and I feel bad about that. And I always wonder if, like, the people who bullied me, if they ever felt bad about it, if they know that they were doing it. How do you not know you're doing it? But bullying today is such a different level due to social media, due to phones, due to all of the different things that access to communication and photographs and all of that stuff. It's just a really, really, if you don't police it, if you don't pay attention, and if you don't question your own children, you don't know what they're doing out there. There is just a level of nastiness that exists everywhere. You can't avoid it. When I went to, both Edwardsville High School and the Lutheran High School. And people, they don't really ask anymore because people don't associate me with being high school age anymore. So rude. I'm 40. I have a kid in the Lutheran High School. But people would ask me 15 years ago, you know, oh, we're thinking about the public school or we're thinking about the Lutheran school. What do you think? And I always wanted to ensure that people didn't, you're not going to go to a private school, a Christian school, some sort of parochial school or whatever. You're not going to go there and avoid middle schoolers and high schoolers. Like, there's still going to be an element of that ick that exists in those areas. But you hope that the way they handle it is differently. You hope that there is a clear-eyed focus on what is right and what is wrong. And you hope that people are willing to stand up for what is right, even if it seems unpopular at the time. And the body language things you were talking about are things that I wish our young people, there are things that our young people are learning in class that I wish they'd learn this type of stuff instead. I don't want to throw out all art. But, you know, when I'm thinking about, like, the finger painting and what you learn when you're finger painting, because the person who teaches art was the one who got stuck with teaching it that year or whatever it might be. body language, confidence, the way that you carry yourself, whether or not you actually believe in yourself, decoding what bullies do. Like, if you're out there on the playground and you got a kid who's throwing a ball right in the back of somebody else, what happens next?
Mm-hmm.
How does the kid who got hit handle that? Did the kid who threw the ball do it because they were bullied into doing it and pushed into being, you know, you've got some stronger personalities and they're trying to not be bullied, so they do the thing that the other, come on, do it. You know, if the boys are out there and they're pushing each other around, I don't know that it's different between boys and girls. There's a lot of peer pressure with boys, right?
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think it kind of manifests itself a little bit differently, but I'm sure there's a lot of things that young boys end up doing because everybody else around is pushing them, and they're not pushing them to do it because they have their best interest at heart.
Especially at probably 6th through 8th grade, 9th grade, maybe. There's an element when you're a boy that the meanest kid is pretty much in charge during that era.
Definitely for girls.
Is it too?
And you're saying that's the way it works for boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the meanness doesn't always look
like.
Yeah, it's different. It's much more physical bullying, and maybe a little bit of social too. But it's like if you happen to be like you hit puberty a little bit earlier than everybody else, and you're a jerk, you are the king when you're in seventh grade or whatever it is, because you can just walk around doing stuff, and people will kind of get behind you because they don't want to get in front of you. That's the way it is.
It's fear.
It is.
So you get to be the meanest kid. Did you experience that at all? Like, because I definitely have witnessed my fair share of this as a parent. You can't avoid it. But I have still very real, vivid memories of being on the end of bullying when I was a kid. And, like, what I was on the receiving end of, these people grew up to be good, kind people. Like, they grew out of it.
Yeah, I know some kids that did that too.
But did you experience that when you were a kid? Were there moments in your childhood that were kind of defining for you?
Up until seventh grade, no. I was in a grade school, and it was a normal, small grade school with small classes. So, I mean, sure, there's little things here and there, I bet. But I don't remember anything until I got to seventh grade. And then it became overnight terrible because I was in junior high, and it was everybody against everybody. And that's where the big-voiced, you know, big brazen bully guys kind of took over for a couple years. And then it went away. And during that couple years, I found friends that I'm still friends with now. It also made me get, I'm not saying it was good, but it sharpens you.
It refines you. Yeah.
It does. And so I learned how to be sharper and funnier and to be like defend myself verbally better in junior high than I had ever experienced up to that point.
Did the bullies in junior high, did you graduate with them first and foremost? And if you did, were they different people when they graduated as like 17, 18 year olds as they were in middle school?
I would say a couple of them were, but a lot of them didn't pass. They would stay in those grades. They were just dirt balls and they were terrible people.
Let me ask you this. Did you know anything about their families?
Not at the time, but looking back, I figured it out.
Did you understand why they be like, as an adult looking back, do you understand why they acted that way?
I figured that out in late high school. That those were the kids that they had a rough time. They didn't have a stable family at home.
Isn't that sad?
It is sad.
Like it's a perpetually sad situation when you look at kids who are acting out. Like as an adult, if I see that, you know, if it involves my kids or if I see it happening elsewhere, and I learn, you know, I hear stories about my husband being a teacher over the years, I've heard stories of what kids are dealing with, and they're known on the surface as being problem kids. And then you find out the absolute tragedy of a life that they're living because their home life is a wreck. And then I just have empathy for them. And it's like, well, you can't act like that. But I always say, there's the difference between an excuse and an explanation. You might be able to explain to me why a kid is acting that way, but that doesn't excuse that they're acting that way. I'm always interested in explanations because you can't really help a kid if you don't understand the kid. And I feel like when we grew up, there were smart kids, there were dumb kids, there were sporty kids, there were bully kids, there were mean kids. You kind of just were what you were. And that was true, I think, in the 90s growing up. I think that might have been even more true in generations beforehand. Something I would call it actual potential progress, that we look a little bit deeper into circumstances and why things are the way they are right now. When you find out why a person is the way they are, you can help them. But I feel like we need to societally push back more against bullies, more zero tolerance against people who want to bully. We need to be, this is very, I feel strongly that in a world where we completely tried to gray the area of right and wrong, where if you have an explanation for something that then becomes an excuse for it, and then if a person is acting a particular kind of way, and you know that they're acting out in a particular way because of some circumstance in their life, that you have to protect that person and then they become the victim. We can't raise kids in a world where bullying is permitted in any way, shape, or form. Is it possible to care for the bully, but not in spite of the actual victim? I feel like that's a place where we're getting lost right now.
Yeah, I agree with you in theory. I just don't know what the implementation of that is. And plus, it's changed since we were in school, obviously, a lot. You know, now kids can go into a public forum and just spread lies or scream awful things about somebody and nobody even knows it. And you can do it anonymously. So,
did you ever have a paddle in your school that you went to?
Yeah, there was a paddle. I never saw it used, but it was there.
I remember, like, maybe through first grade, the paddle was in the principal's office, and I don't know that it was ever used either. But, boy, have we come a long way from a paddle existing in the administrative's office as a disciplinary measure, even the presence of it, to right now, you got to have, like, do we... I feel like we're too soft on bullies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to say it in every way I can. I feel like we're too soft on bullies.
We've what you're saying that I really do agree with is that we've come from a place where moral clarity was just clearer and everybody understood this is wrong, this is not. You know, there's a better understanding and most more people were on the same page. As we've moved away from having a common ethic, that's where you get that gray zone and people are unwilling to step into things to say right and wrong. And we have to. Especially when kids are involved, because you're not only teaching the kids what right and wrong is, but then you're showing them how to implement it.
Have you ever been around... Have you ever experienced bullying behavior where the people who needed to correct it... It's really the parents. Like, you can't correct that stuff at school. You can limit it to whatever extent you can limit it at school, but the behavior has to be corrected at home, right? So a lot of these times when this is happening and we're talking about broken homes, the reason why the bullying doesn't stop is because there's no correction at home.
Yeah.
The expectations aren't there, which is sad. But have you ever, there's kind of a helicopter parent time. I don't know if we're still in helicopter parent time. That's kind of an exhausting way to live. Have you ever been around a kid who is a bully and the parents just have no clue?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that still happens
a lot.
How
do you handle that?
Well, I think, it depends on who you are in that situation, but at some point the parents have to be notified and then you have to see what their reaction is. If their reaction is shock, then you go, okay, well, hopefully something's about to happen.
What if they're offended that you'd say so?
That's when it becomes stupid. Because if that's really happening, look, even if your kid, let's put you on the other side. Let's say you're the family that doesn't know that your kid's being a jerk at school. And somebody comes to you and goes, hey, your kid's being a real jerk at school. Maybe they say it nicer than that. Maybe they don't. How would you react? Well, I would first say, I think I know my kids well enough that they're probably not doing that. But I'm still going to listen to what you're saying and test it. Because I can see that my kids have issues. It's not they're perfect.
Sure.
So maybe they could do something that could be perceived that way. I wouldn't think it was a pattern, but, you know, I'll check into it. I don't necessarily agree with you, but I'll look into it. You know, I think that's a reasonable position to take.
Yeah. It's difficult when people can't be made to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that there have been times where if I've heard a story over the years or whatever, I feel shame for this sometimes because I just don't believe my kids. I should. They haven't given me a reason not to, but I'm like sourcing everything I can think of to check all the notes because I don't ever want to get into that meeting where it's like, there's something you need to know, Annie. And then they tell me and I'm like, that's not the case. And then they have like indisputable evidence that it is the case and I've been hoodwinked. I don't ever want to do that, but then you do that at the expense of your own child. So it's hard to be on either side of those issues where you're trying, I mean, how can one be objective about their own child? You just can't. So the best you can do is try. This is a conversation I had with, I'm coaching a third grade volleyball team. When we come back, I'll tell you about the message that I sent out before that third grade. We're in a fourth grade league, so it's like super character building.
Did you bully everybody and everybody's kind of getting back?
That's really where this is going,
okay.
But I was going to save that for the next segment.
Okay, well, I want to hear the story.
Yeah.
I'll judge.
We'll talk about it when we come back. Don't go away.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You know what a bully is, right? You know, the bully, I've always, and I found it throughout my life, a bully is the weakest person. And they're bullies. Hamas is bullies. The weakest people are bullies. You know that, right?
That's Donald Trump today talking about bullies. And I found that to be a really interesting way to put terrorism, like one of the biggest terrorist organizations that exists in the world. He kind of belittles them a little bit by just saying that they're bullies. They're just weak people who are taking out their aggression on those who they deem to be weaker. Donald Trump making that statement today from the Oval Office, sitting next to the King of Jordan while they're talking about what they're going to do next in Gaza. I said before the break that I'm coaching a third grade volleyball team, and this is, it's probably good for my soul to do this because it's all instructional and all you're doing is looking for incremental victories. It's not about the score on the scoreboard. We do keep score. but it's not about the score on the scoreboard. It's about using sports to celebrate work that materializes into something that was better than when you started. Which is really, when you're in third grade, you're like 8, 9. That's kind of where you have to start. I could do hours and hours on my thoughts on youth sports culture. But I sent out this text message in a group to everybody whose number I had, all the parents or grandparents or whoever else, whoever was connected to the kids. And I had to use myself as an example because this is maybe the first time some of these people have watched their child in a competitive situation. Now, the term competitive is very loose. We got six people on the floor on our side. There's six people on the floor on the other side. If you make a mistake, the other team gets a point. And then guess what? The other team gets the ball, and then they make a mistake, and then you get a point. And it just goes back and forth until somebody reaches 25 points. But I sent out this message before the season started. It was important to do it before the season started. And I wanted to encourage parents, and this is something that I had to learn very much so the hard way. I wanted to encourage parents to be the support in their kids' life and to let go of the need to be the coach in their kids' life. Because everything you're doing as a parent is coaching. You're coaching your kid on how to, eat off of a spoon. How you're coaching your kid on how to walk and take steps and to navigate the world. You're constantly coaching your kid. And it is your primary job as a parent to teach them to be independent of you. It's an incredibly cruel game that you have to play. When my son, who's 15 now, and he's a freshman, he's on the JV team, he gets a few JV minutes. They've had a decent amount of freshman sophomore games, and he plays in those. He works really hard. I think he's got a future in basketball if he wants to work really hard at it. He's not Caitlin Clark, who just was gifted and, you know, he's not. Baseball is probably his primary sport, but he's working really hard at basketball and he wants to keep working at it, wants to keep getting better at it, which is what, as a parent, you just want to see. Because that skill, that mentality will apply in the future. When he was maybe second grade, I think. You familiar with Upward Sports?
Yeah, we do those.
Great organization. Wonderful thing to get your kids involved in at a young age. He did Upward Basketball over at Maryville Christian School, where everything is housed in Maryville. And it just is such a well-run thing. Well, my husband and I had coached junior high basketball at a pretty decently high level as far as those things go. I know people are like, oh, junior high girls basketball, huh?
Regular Mike Krzyzewski over here in the studio.
Yeah, Coach K. try really hard not to be, honestly. Try so hard.
Is that Roy Williams over there?
Still do, do you only know college coach names from like the late 90s,
yeah,
the Duke, North Carolina
pretty
matchup?
Much. Okay. Yeah, and Bruce Weber.
So my son signed up. It's the first thing. He had done T-ball, which is kind of its own thing. Basketball is a little more involved. Like, you can always be involved in basketball. In T-ball, you pretty much hit one time every time your position in the lineup comes up, and then you kind of just stand out there. They score 5 runs, and then you go into the dugout.
Chase butterflies.
Yeah, something like that. When they're little and they go, they're on second base and they're standing there straight up tall with 2 feet standing on top of second base. So cute. So cute. I have the permanent image in my brain of my son doing that. He signs up for Upward. Basketball is my sport. I played softball, didn't love it. Competitively, we weren't good, so it's probably why. But basketball is my sport. I know a lot about basketball. I was good at basketball. He's now an Upward. It was the first time that he'd ever done anything like that. And my husband was one of the coaches, of course. And I'm sitting in the stand, and the first game that I watched him play, I couldn't control myself. It was like an out-of-body experience. Like, I wanted to coach him every inch of the way. I wanted to help him. I wanted to guide him. And everything I said, I was like, shut up, Annie. Like, don't do this. Just be quiet. Knock it off. And it was a compulsion. I have never, ever experienced parenting in that same capacity, where I was so helpless to doing the thing for him to succeed, and completely at that point, with my oldest kid being in this situation, having zero understanding of what success actually was going to look like on that upward floor for a second grader, whatever it is, basketball team. It wasn't going to be, you know, putting up a double-double and getting four good fouls. I don't even think they called fouls. I had to sit there, and when we left, I told my husband, I'm like, I can't come back to that. I can't be in public like this. I'm out of control. And I was sitting in the bleachers with all the other parents who were doing the exact same thing. It wasn't like everybody was sitting nice and neat and just lovingly, quietly supporting their child with like golf claps. Just a bunch of crazy old parents not understanding their place in the stands and not knowing how to handle themselves. Why? Because they really love their kids. It's really what it comes down to. So that was probably 8 years ago, maybe. And I've been to a few gymnasiums since then with kids or fields or courts or whatever it might be. And I really, it was not long. It was a God thing. It was not long after that upward basketball experience that I was scrolling through Facebook and there was this thing that was like, all your kids need to hear from you after they play is that you love to watch them play. That's all they really need to hear from their mom or their dad, is that you love to watch them play. And, you know, initially to me, that's like, oh, that's soft. Like, that's, what if they didn't hustle enough? What if they didn't work hard enough? What if they didn't run the right plays? What if they weren't doing the right things? Well, the truth of the matter is if your kid is playing on a team where their coach can coach them at the respectable level that they're at, which may not be my level or your level for your kid, if they're getting coached, when you're in the car on the ride home, just tell them you love watching them play. If you're later on that weekend working in the driveway and you want to coach them or whatever, that's a different story. But if you get in the car after your kids play and you start listing off all the things, you remember that time where the ball fell on the ground right in front of you? Why didn't you move? It's not how you're going to get your kid to boldly try to make that play the next time. So my message to these parents was, first and foremost, thank you for trusting me with your kiddos. Secondly, I've been around the sport of volleyball for a very long time. I do know how to coach. I understand how to coach at this level to teach things that are incremental that can be put together for success down the road. And I trust that you'll have the confidence in me to care for your kids in an appropriate way and to teach them things that by the end of the season, you'll say they are better at volleyball than they were before. But my encouragement to them was to, during the game, please let me coach your kids and please support your kids. And the parents, everybody at the games, they've been great at it. I haven't had any problems with it. I haven't noticed anybody who's like had a major problem with that. But I don't think that parents have in the last 10 to 15 years been in a position to be encouraged to support their kids while their kids are in capable hands of other people. Kids are treated like a commodity. It's like kids are traded. This is where club sports comes in. It makes me very frustrated. Parents become agents and kids become trade fodder. You do soccer. You don't do select baseball, right?
We just do select soccer.
But you do select soccer. I don't know that world, but I think that there are many similarities. Specifically in baseball, the youth sports baseball world, come mid-season, kids are missing games with the team they're on because they're trying out for other teams they want to be on next year. And kids on that team are sitting on the bench because Johnny is going to try out at shortstop because we might sign him for next year.
Ooh-wee.
And they're like 10. I'm not joking. I don't know what kind of adults those kids become.
I don't know if this is the right thing to do, but one of the things I started telling my son, you know, even 2 years ago, right up till now, I still say it, is, look, buddy, you're not going to go pro. And neither are any of these other kids. So let's try to enjoy this, whatever this is, whether it's on the highest level team or it's not, let's just enjoy this. And if you're enjoying it, we should keep playing.
Amen. That's a great message.
And if we're not, then you should try something else. He's super, my oldest is super, although they're both oldest, they're twins, but I'm talking about my son. Very, 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 very competitive. And so I'm like, buddy, I know you well enough to know that your desire really is to win. You don't really care what it's at.
Yeah.
You just want to win.
Yeah.
And
if you're driving two cars home from a place, you want to get home first.
Yeah. And he's not driving yet, but he will do that. And so I know him well enough to know that you if you want to try a different sport, you do better in that sport, you'll actually like that better than this. Just do this because you like it. Mm-hmm. And because you think you're excelling at it, whatever it is that is motivating you, do it because of that thing. Don't do it because you think it's going to become a thing. And I really don't know if I'm kind of like shattering his dreams or not. I don't want to do that, but I think it's realistic.
I mean, honestly, if he has talent and if he ever is going to go pro, he's going to have to love every second of it anyway. And the adults take these fun situations. Like I think about the time that I grew up playing City League softball when there was a girls league and there were enough girls who wanted to play softball, and you put 10 people on the field. I think we had 10. I think we had four outfielders. You put 10 people on the field, half of them were pretty good. Half of them were average to not very good, but you had so much fun together. None of us went on to be professional softball players. It was just a different realm, and I understand that the game has changed right now, but I know people who have children who mid-high school were like, the kid did not want to do baseball anymore. And they were good, and they didn't want to do baseball anymore. And one of the parents told me this one time, and it has stuck with me forever. They're like, we spent the last 3 and 4 years struggling, like great consternation over relationships that had been developed on teams that were good, that got broken because people left or people didn't, whatever. And they're like, we didn't even have fun in these last 4 years because we were so
stinks.
Worried about what happens next.
Yeah, that really is unfortunate.
And it's like, it's not the baseball that you missed. It's your kid's childhood that you missed. And there is nothing more precious than that. And when it comes to like these select baseball teams, when it comes to select soccer, I don't know as much about that, so I'm not going to speak to it. When it comes to all of these different type of select sports that people are playing, and it individualizes every child, and all of your child's time is monopolized through the entire summer playing baseball for one team on the front of the jersey that halfway through the season ends up being something maybe different because you're trying to jockey for a better position for your kid. I feel like we're creating a culture where everybody, there's very little that our children are being raised to do as something, to be a part of something that is bigger than themselves. We're so self-centered. And parents who I think the majority of the time, probably 90% of the time, maybe more, are trying to do, they're praying that they're doing what's best for their kids. They're trying not to let their kid get left behind. They're trying not to, you don't want to miss an opportunity to provide some sort of experience for your kid that might move them up to the next level. There's so many decisions that are being made out of that fear and out of love for their kid, that one day you blink, your child is grown. They've been shuffled around to so many places that they never really got to be a kid. And that breaks my heart. And you know, that's a choice too. I don't know if that's the right choice for my kids. My kids are very busy. Not as busy as every other kid, but certainly busier than other kids. Parents need to be present to support. And hopefully you've got your kids on a situation from an athletic situation where when you turn them over to the coach, you're like, thank God they're going to that coach. I know what it's like to turn my kids over to that coach. And it's very, there's a burden that is lifted on that. We are the coach for our kids. I hope that those parents feel like that way. I'm not 100% sure they all do. We're doing the best we can.
What I hear you saying is,
it's difficult.
You've been the parent for the first child, and now you're the parent for the second, third child. And you're like, I have a message for you.
Well, you know, the upward thing, when my son was playing upward, it was, I was so out of my skin over not being like the compulsion to cheer and to push and to do all of these things for the kid. Like, once you've done it for a while, you realize, okay, I can just sit here and be quiet about it.
And you can tell who's who in the stands, too.
Yeah. It's like, oh, this is your first kid, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
Just encourage, if you're a parent, if you're a grandparent of a kiddo, love on those kids as hard as you can. Give them the opportunities, but make sure that the thing you protect the most is the fact that they are kids for such a short amount of time. It's a very difficult thing to do. And you're always second-guessing yourself. That's the one thing that I've realized about parenting, is that it is just a constant game of asking yourself, am I killing this, or am I messing this up beyond repair? And it's like, you won't know until you know. You just pray a lot about it. Quick break when we come back. Get Ethan back in here and get the results to today's YouTube live chat poll. Is J.D. Vance the future of the GOP? Yes, too soon to tell. Or no, we'll be right back. This is wild. A YouTube comment from Chris says, hockey is crazy too now. 8-year-old on a AAA team, parents spending $20,000 a year on it.
What's a AAA team?
I don't know. That doesn't matter.
It costs
$20,000 a year.
It's like the highest level of really any level of junior hockey.
If you're an 8-year-old and you're playing on a AAA team, are you guaranteed to be A, scholarship worthy, or B, in the NHL?
Kid's got to be Cam
Neely. Definitely have better chances, but I'll say this much. If you're playing at that level at 8 years old, the grind is so ridiculous. I would say the chances of burning out are just as high ending up being successful with it.
Did you have select sport burnout, Ethan, at all?
Not to this extent, but I feel like
has it changed since you were a kid?
What do you mean? In what way?
The culture, the expectations.
No, probably not. Because I would say that, like, I was in select ball, but it wasn't the level of select ball that was still out there. That some of my friends who were better baseball players.
Oh, baseball. Okay.
Yeah, specifically in this case, baseball, but also that applied to soccer. Like, those kids, there were kids out there that were better than me that were at that level, and that they did get burned out, that were going to different cities, different states every single weekend playing. And while, you know, there's part of you growing up that's a little bit envious of that, of being that good and being able to do those things, I never had experienced that. Man, I'm so ready to be done with this, and I'm 14 years old, I'm 16 years old. You know, the last time I walked out of the ball field after my last game senior year, I cried like a baby.
Yeah.
I was sad it was over.
I remember that basketball specifically.
So I never had that serious burnout moment with either of my sports.
I think it, too, is like, depends on who you're with a lot, with the experience when you're done with that sport that you really love. It's more than just the sport. It's the people you did the sport with that makes that really hard to let go. I read the Matheny Manifesto.
Great book.
It is a great book. And that's really what reshaped my focus as a parent, because the way he talks about, I mean, how there would be parents who would micromanage their kids' baseball situation, and he'd be like, your kid's off the team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's not even like emotional.
I do not. I am dead silent watching, like, family or like sisters athletic events now, really, because of that book.
It's such a good read if you've ever coached, if you have a kid who's playing competitive sports, to read it and to understand what it means to give your kid over to a team situation for their betterment. I mean, it's really not about you as a parent, which is kind of the point, that when you turn your kids over to something like that, if it is at a high level, if you're investing in it, you better trust the process that you're investing in. It just seems as though that's not always the case. I think the amount of money that is in the business has so compromised the purpose of it.
Hmm. That's why when we join, we don't even pay anymore. You know, we'll join a league and then wait to the very end, and then we drop out.
Till they kick us out.
I was wondering where you were going with that.
It's to protest the system.
Yeah.
Is why we do that.
Sticking it to the man.
Exactly.
How's that working out for you?
Not great. I mean, we hop around a lot.
We're running out of clubs.
Yeah. We're playing. Our league is currently in Wyoming.
Yeah.
Man, if you guys have thoughts on this too, always send them to me. You know, once it's over, it's over. Once you're not in the kids' sports realm anymore, you're just not in it. So you can't really change and influence things. And there's always that question, like, how much do you get involved? How much do you just keep your hands off and just let it go? It's difficult.
I bet everybody remembers that moment you're talking about, of watching your kid for the first time in a sport. Or one of the first times.
Yeah.
Because it's something does come over you, and you go, oh, I'm that parent now.
Doesn't it matter too if you like played that sport specifically? Because I did not have the same thoughts and emotions watching my kid play t-ball or baseball as I did basketball.
I played soccer, but I didn't play at the level that Sinjin does. But I did have that feeling when he played soccer. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm
to pull it back.
Really into this.
Somebody asked in the chat, who here would be most likely to throw a chair?
Ooh.
In this room.
Braddy Knight.
Brad?
I think it would be me.
Brad's volunteering.
Yeah, I think it would be me. I work really hard to stay on top of all of that, and sometimes...
But it's an active work?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah.
I would have thought you, Annie.
But I get frustrated. I throw stuff all the time.
I won't do that. I get mouthy. It's not my strong suit, but yet it is my strong suit, which is a problem.
The minute Annie picks up a chair... She composes herself.
I just relocate it.
She looks like a wrestler, but she stops.
Kind of like
it gently down.
Kind of like the Super Bowl, the Tom Brady Duracell Super Bowl commercial the other night. Where just like the batteries just died and he just shut down.
I don't even remember. I think I missed it.
Maybe tomorrow during this hour, we can talk about the state of officiating.
Oh boy.
Let's just start at 12.
Into it.
12:05.
I'm going to need Will Starr from the line. Got an executive order I'd like to suggest. You want to give us the YouTube poll results?
Yes. Let's do it. 293 votes. Am I giving the results right now?
Well, go around the room and give our answers.
All right. 293 votes. Is J.D. Vance the future of the GOP?
Ryan?
Really like J.D. Vance? My answer is no.
You're a no. Okay, Brad?
I think he's in first place, but it's too soon to tell.
I'm a big too soon to tell. What do you think, Ethan?
I'm throwing yes. A young crowd likes him.
That's good to know.
I'm on the Vance bandwagon. 294 votes now. Thanks for that one voter here in the last 30 seconds. Is J.D. Vance the future of the GOP? 47% say yes.
Wow.
51% say too soon to tell, and 2%
say no. And Ryan
says no. Me and one other person, maybe.
Oh, man. Thank you for listening today. A reminder, you can get the Annie Fry Show podcast on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Take it with you anywhere you go. Podcasts are there. Streaming is there. You can listen to Mark Reardon right on that app right after we get done. You can also go to anniefryshow.com/podcast, and you can see a playlist there as well. Don't go anywhere. Mark Reardon, next.
RhinoShield is.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.